Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And on Monday, we learned that in his new budget, Mayor Bloomberg did not call to cut more than 2,000 teachers from the city payroll, as has been considered. Phil from Queens, one of our listeners, called in to talk about his experience with retired teachers. He said that as a lawyer, he used to work on UFT contracts.
And when the teachers retired, they were all homeowners. They had great medical coverage, and the average teacher retired, and this isn't too long ago, with $2-3 million of net worth. And so we're feeding this permanent professional class. If the city is in trouble, we cut everywhere, and that includes the teachers who do very well for themselves.
Well, as you can imagine, our comments page lit up with responses and pushback on this, our Facebook and Twitter feeds too. So we thought we would find out, how much do teachers actually make and how much do they actually retire with? From Scarsdale to Staten Island, Newark to Nassau County, let's find out some of the facts. Joining me now is Jennifer Cohen, Senior Policy Analyst with the Education Policy Program at the New America Foundation. And from Gotham Schools, which reports on the New York City public schools, is reporter Felissa Kramer. Welcome back, both of you, to WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much.
And Jennifer Cohen, I guess the path to retirement is paved with salaries. So what can you tell us about the average income for teachers?
Absolutely. So for the school year ending in 2009, which is the year for which we have the most recent data, the average teacher salary in America was just under $55,000. Now, of course, that ranges drastically from a low of about $35,000 in South Dakota to a high, of course, in New York State of just under $71,000. And over that, you know, we can talk about trends over time. You see a lot of variations. Some states have seen 15% growth in salaries over the past 10 years, and some states have seen as much as 8% decrease in teacher salaries in current dollars.
What is that 71,000 on average in New York State mean? What's the range there?
That's a really great question. You know, it depends on multiple factors. In fact, teacher salaries are mostly based on schedules. The schedules take into account both what kind of degrees a teacher has, so whether they have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, and then also their years of experience. So I'm looking at base salaries right now in New York. The lowest possible base salary in New York State is just over $40,000.
So that's a starting salary for a full-time public school teacher, is that, right?
Correct, with likely 0 years of experience and a bachelor's degree. The highest base salary, so this is not including sort of additional things that a teacher participates in, like being a department head or volunteering to, or rather not volunteering, but coaching a sports team, for example, mm-hmm. in New York, is just over $87,000. So that's your base salary range.
I see, by the way, that New Jersey has the highest base salary for average public school teachers in the country, yes?
That is correct. So base salaries in New Jersey range from just under $43,000. So they are starting slightly higher than New York, but they actually end lower. So the highest base salary in New Jersey is just under $81,000. So New York, I suppose, allows for more growth in its teacher salaries over time.
And I gather that in New Jersey, maybe in a lot of places, if you are starting at that base salary with just a master's, with just a bachelor's degree, you are compelled – or maybe that's in New York, to then go on for a master's degree.
Many teachers do. There's also some states where you can actually only teach with a master's degree. Unfortunately, I'm not totally sure if New York and New Jersey are those states. Mm-hmm. But you do often see that teachers go back mid-career to get additional credentials.
Felissa, do you know on that point with respect to New York?
With respect to New York City?
Yeah, whether teachers are required to go on to a master's level degree program if they start in New York with a bachelor's degree.
Virtually everyone does. I have to admit that I'm not positive about the requirement, but pretty much any pathway into teaching. And no, you can enter teaching with just a bachelor's degree. There's a strong financial incentive to get a master's degree, and additionally, several of the alternative certification programs enroll new teachers in a master's degree program while they're in the classroom.
So, Felissa, how do salaries in the New York City public schools compare to what teachers make in the immediate suburbs, in Long Island or Westchester, for example?
So there used to be an enormous gap. That gap closed over the last decade a little bit. So the base salary, again, with no experience, just a master's degree here in the city right now, is about $45,000. In some of the suburbs, you can start around $50,000. So there's a gap. It's not huge. That gap, as Jennifer said, does grow over time. So the maximum salary a teacher in the city will earn, you know, maximum number of years, lots of extra credentials, is about $100,000 base salary without those extras. In some of the suburban districts, that can go up to about $122,000, even maybe $124,000, $125,000.
Now, listeners, we want to hear from you, teachers, and other taxpayers. Call in and tell us how much teachers should be paid in your opinion. We heard from our caller the other day and from all the response on one side or the other after the caller that people have strong opinions on this as parents of children, as people concerned with our society's growth in general. We were just talking about the importance of education for the future economy with Professor Galbraith. As taxpayers, are you getting your money's worth? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. And let's take a call from Paul in Brooklyn. Hi, Paul. You're on WNYC.
Hello, Brian. Love your show.
Thank you.
Brian, I'm very conservative in many, many areas. But when it comes to education, I'm a retired administrator. I only taught 5 years, but did 25 other years as an administrator. I'm very, I guess, biased in a way. Teachers invest in New York City, you must have a master's degree within 5 years. In order to reach maximum salary, you have to get another 30 credits above your master's, an enormous investment in your education. And the long-term 20-year return to get the maximum just about pays off your loans to get your education. I believe that starting salaries to attract the best and the brightest should be upwards of $100,000. And they should be subsidized by the city university system, especially in the city of New York, to assist them financially to get a master's in their 30s to help offset the cost.
Paul, thank
you. If you want the best and the brightest, you have to pay for the best and brightest.
Thank you very much for your call. And Jennifer Cohen, how does this relate to retirement, which is what the caller Phil the other day originally brought up when he said a lot of the teachers who he was working with as a lawyer were retiring with homeowner status plus $2 or $3 million in the bank. One statistic that we've seen from a study that got passed around our Facebook page was a recent report on millionaires nationally. And by millionaires, they don't mean people making $1 million a year. They mean people who have accumulated $1 million in assets, not including their homes. And that 12% of all the Americans in that category are educators. Does that number surprise you? Do you think it's accurate? And what does educators mean? Because that could be a very broad range of people.
Sure. So let me address the issue in the Wall Street Journal, and then I'll address your other question about sort of how pensions work.
Yeah.
So the Wall Street Journal article, the first thing I thought when I read it was educators is an awfully broad category, and I would bet that that category of educators includes higher education faculty, and I believe that that's what's really driving that 12% number. Higher education faculty, first of all, make significantly more than K-12 teachers, but beyond that, they also have income from other sources besides their salary. So often you'll see higher education faculty with royalties from pensions, royalties from book sales and other publications. They get royalties from speaking. So there's a whole other source of income for higher education faculty and also higher education administration that you don't see in the K-12 system. And I would bet that that's what's really driving that 12% number, because you really aren't going to see very many K-12 teachers that have a net worth of over $1 million. The way that teacher pensions work, typically, is that teachers are provided a sort of monthly benefit payment based on an average of some of their highest salaries. So in some states, for example, they will take the average of their three highest annual salaries. So if a teacher makes an average in their last 3 years of teaching of $75,000, then their monthly payment will be based on a percentage of that. So, for example, in some states, if you've been teaching in the system for 25 years, you are eligible for 60% of your average annual highest salaries, and you get that in monthly payments. So it's not like a teacher retires and they're given a huge bank account that they can draw down willy-nilly for $1 million. They're provided a monthly benefit payment based on their highest salaries. But this does, of course, vary very widely by state. As sort of a more immediate way of thinking about it, on average, states spend about an additional 33% or so on teacher benefits on top of salary. So, for example, if we're looking at that average salary of $71,000 in New York State, if you add an additional 33% for benefits, you're looking at a teacher's real salary on average of about $94,000, and that's including the health care benefits that they receive as well as their pension benefits.
Roy in Kearney, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roy. Roy, up. Oh, let me click Roy in a better way. Hi, Roy. You're on the air now.
Thank you for taking my call. She just covered the area I asked about, because when I taught back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, we took teacher board examination. It was a lot less arduous than it has become. And I noticed in here in Jersey, if you're teaching in the inner city as a permanent sub and opposed to actual teacher, you get paid a lot more than if you're teaching in the suburban area. So I'm just curious about factoring in that whole benefit package, which she just so plainly described.
So that's toward what the numbers are. How do you feel about that? Is it worth, you used to be a teacher, so you have one kind of interest. Now you have an interest as a taxpayer. What do you think about that whole thing that just got laid out there?
Well, I think it's fair in light of the fact that I might be a little biased because that was my former profession. But at the end of the day, I'm finding that a lot of us who teach, we might have these higher degrees that she forementioned that would require a little more pay, but not necessarily we can translate that to the 1 through 12. You know, I've had problems with these new teachers that enter the workforce, and they have difficulties trying to put that in a language package that the children could comprehend. Even though they have all these degrees, it's hard to translate it when you're talking to 12 from kindergarten to 12th graders, and that's where I find really the problem lies in terms of trying to determine whether one is a good teacher or a bad teacher. Can you put it in layman terms? And that is another area that we can definitely discuss that has been a difficulty.
We'll do that on your next call.
Roy,
thank you very much. Let's go right on to David in Flushing. David, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. All you have to do is go to the UFT website, which apparently hasn't been updated for 4 years. 4 years ago, after 8 years, a teacher would maximize at $75,000, and after 22 years after that, $100,000, and that means now it's more like about $115,000. Now, it is true that there are some really excellent teachers, but the average teacher is, how should I say it, average. And this is an incredible profession for mediocre to average people to earn really big money, not work summers. The pension after 35 years of teaching is over 70% of your salary. Also, you can make additional contributions, which until recently earned 8.25% interest, lowered recently to 7% interest. 403B, it can't be lowered because the New York State Constitution forbids it. It is a major racket.
What would you suggest if the issue is teacher quality? If you're saying that the large number of teachers are average, which I guess in any kind of large sample might be the case, but are you saying that there is not an incentive, in your opinion, for good teachers, you know, to join the profession if this is such a racket for them economically?
The really talented people in any profession which is paid by the government are underpaid, but everyone else is overpaid. We will not improve things by raising salaries so that the vast majority are even more overpaid. I can't personally think of a way to pick out the really talented. Maybe there is some, but to raise the salaries of the really talented would be fine if we lowered the salaries of the rest of the people, which isn't going to happen. They are ripping us off.
David, thank you for your call. Well, Felisa Kramer, there's what some people definitely believe about teachers. They don't feel that they're getting their money's worth. And I guess David and others don't feel that there's a connection between the incentive to go into the field, which he considers those numbers a high monetary incentive, and the production.
I think that's absolutely true. I think that this is kind of the frontier of teacher pay, and it remains to be seen whether this new discussion or this insurgent discussion of teacher quality is going to really change the way that teachers are paid. But certainly in New York City, Mayor Bloomberg wants to shift things so that instead of tying teacher pay simply to how many years a teacher has worked and how many credit hours that teacher has earned, he'd like to see teacher pay tied to quality as measured by the state's new teacher evaluations. He'd also like to offer a pay bump, so a higher base salary to new teachers who come from the very top tier of their college classes. And then he'd like to offer larger increases when teachers are rated highly effective for a couple of years in a row. The city hasn't yet actually agreed on a new teacher evaluation system, and the union is very opposed to these changes. So it remains to be seen whether there's any future for them. But that's certainly a big part of the discussion right now.
So as we run out of time, Jennifer Cohen, we've heard from our callers a lot of people consider teachers very much worth the money that they get and think they should be paying teachers more, considering their role in society and to get the best and the brightest into the field in the first place. And other people think that it's a racket, in the words of our previous caller, that that doesn't ensure quality. Obviously, the country has been having this debate now for a number of years. They're having it in New Jersey, they're having it in New York, they're having it just about everywhere. Are we near the end of this? And whatever the new system is that it's going to settle on, or is it just going to be a continuing political hot potato because it's about politics, really, not quality?
A little bit of both. I think we have some really courageous leaders in some particular local areas and in some states who are willing to spend a lot of political capital to make work like this happen, like the improved teacher evaluation systems that Felisa was talking about. But I do think that in a lot of places, the status quo is much easier to maintain, and the leadership in those places aren't willing to take on this issue head on. We see that happening in Congress now as well, in terms of whether or not they're going to include an requirement for these stronger teacher evaluations as a condition of receiving federal funds. So I think it'll really depend as we get more governors in positions that are willing to take on education this issue particularly. I think we'll see more change, but time will really tell on this particular case.
Jennifer Cohen, Senior Policy Analyst with the Education Policy Program at the New America Foundation. Felisa Kramer, reporter on the New York City Public Schools for the education news organization Gotham Schools. Thank you both very much for coming on and running the numbers for us.
Thank you
for having us.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a system to decide what cultural institutions to support through an online vote. We will check out a list of nonprofits in line for $3 million in grant money. WNYC is not one of them, by the way. But maybe you will want to cast a ballot after you hear this next segment. Stay tuned.